SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are live on Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. I am Ben Stevens. He is Joe Lisi, the mastermind of the pigskin, both in college and in professional football. And Joe, we start today's show with some sad news in CFB. Mike Leach has sadly passed away at the age of 61. The man known as the Pirate, Joe Lisi, always asking people to swing their sword and be unique in what they did. That was Mike Leach's entire persona to a T. One of the most genuine, charismatic, curious people you will ever meet in all of college football, Joe. And one way or the other, if Mike Leach was speaking, you were listening and questioning perspectives of football, of the world, and his impact, Joe, on the sport of college football will live on forever. His legacy on this game is seen right here, right now, with Lincoln Riley as the head coach at USC, Dana Holgorsen, the coaching tree that Mike Leach has had in those individuals and the overall schemes, Joe Lisi, of the air raid offense that he popularized when he was an offensive coordinator at Oklahoma, one of the truest offensive minds in all of college football. In the CFB world, Joe will sadly miss Mike Leach each and every Saturday all throughout the fall.
Yeah, it's unreal, isn't it? I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, he knocks off Lane Kiffin in the Egg Bowl, and now he's no longer with us. Our thoughts and prayers are with him and his family right now. Just terrible circumstances for the university and all the football players that had the opportunity to play under Coach Leach throughout his tenure at Texas Tech, like you mentioned, and obviously at Wazoo, at Washington State, Gardner Minshew, one of those quarterbacks, and obviously now with Will Rogers in Mississippi State. It's unbelievable. Life is very short, and very young man, right? 61 years old, gone way too soon, and no real words, just to say that he really helped evolve the game of college football for the better. His offensive mind is second to none, and clearly he will be missed moving forward, Ben.
Think about those Texas Tech teams in the mid-2000s. Graham Harrell, Michael Crabtree, lighting up opponents with how many points they would put on the offensive scoreboard. And that philosophy, that air raid system, has proliferated throughout college football. You could look across, Joe, pretty much every offensive scheme in college football. Some way or the other, the air raid has played a part in its mentality one way or the other in some form or fashion. And Mike Leach, Joe, I've never personally met him, but the stories coming out about the man known as the Pirate are sensational. One of the most unique and charismatic characters in all of college football. Just a genuine figure, Joe, that would allow people in, would enjoy the idea of having conversations, different conversations with people from all walks of life to share his perspectives, ask their perspectives. He seemed like a genuinely incredible individual and a very sad loss. The idea that life can be fleeting, Joe, certainly seen here. Just 61 years old. Mike Leach, just 61 years old as he passes away. Our thoughts, our prayers with the entire Mississippi State football program, the world of college football, and of course, Mike Leach's wife, Sharon, and the entire Leach family. Very, very sad, Joe. Very, very sad. But again, his legacy in college football will continue to live on. 3 years at Mississippi State, 21 overall as a head coach. Joe talked about it, Texas Tech, up to Pullman at Wazoo with Washington State, and then finally in Starkville at Mississippi State. Mike Leach has sadly passed away at the age of 61. Joe, as we transition now to the National Football League, you heard it in the open of the show there, a desert duel last night between the Arizona Cardinals, who Cliff Kingsbury played and then also coached under Mike Leach. So his reign, his expertise, Mike Leach's, does not just stop in college football. It extends to the professional ranks as well. The Arizona Cardinals and the New England Patriots, Joe, on Monday Night Football. The Patriots score 17 unanswered in the second half to pull away for a 27-13 victory. A big win, Joe, for New England, covering as a 2.5-point road favorite, and huge implications for the Patriots' playoff hopes.
And it's always players that are under the radar, right? Ramondre Stevenson goes down, and all of a sudden, former South Carolina Gamecock running back Kevin Harris steps up. Now, Kevin Harris was one of the most prolific SEC running backs during his tenure there in terms of Columbia. 2019 through 2021, he was up there in terms of leading rushers in the SEC, put on a performance last night. But at the end of the day, this game will go down to Kyler Murray getting hurt on the third play of the game, never the same, and Colt McCoy not being able to really get the ball to their playmakers. DeAndre Hopkins, a pedestrian 70 yards. They kicked field goals when they should have scored touchdowns in the red zone, and that's a testament to Bill Belichick and the defensive scheme that they had taken away Arizona's weapons. And, you know, Cliff Kingsbury now, what is he, 4-9? Definitely on the hot seat because major regression in Arizona, Ben.
Certainly so. And a big injury to insult last night on the third offensive play of the game, the opening offensive drive for Arizona, as Joe was alluding to right there. Kyler Murray escapes the pocket. He scampers out, goes down with a non-contact knee injury, had to be carted off the field. A few more reactions from Monday night. Up next, live right here on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Football Full Circle, live on the Sports Grid Radio Network. It is Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens, two guys that were chopping it up, talking some ball at the Sports Grid holiday party on Monday night. Now with you here on a Tuesday evening. We had a good time last night, did we not, Joe Lisi?
Oh, we did. Talking college football, pro football, beverages, food. Hey. What an atmosphere in New York. And it was cold, Ben, football weather out there in New York City last night.
A very brisk New York City Monday night, but in a heated and covered area at our beautiful studios here in Midtown Manhattan. And Joe, on the big screen as we were having our holiday party, of course, Monday night football between the Patriots and the Cardinals. As we said, New England, a big second half, a big victory, 27-13, covering as a 2.5-point road favorite. Injury to insult for what has been a disastrous season for Arizona, now 5 games below .500, just 4-9 straight up. Kyler Murray on the opening offensive possession goes down with a non-contact knee injury and has to be carted off the field, Joe. So it seems Colt McCoy will be the quarterback in the desert the rest of the way. And when you look overall at Arizona, Joe, the last undefeated team in the NFL in the 2021 season, they held that honor. They were winning the NFC West pretty much all season long until they stumbled down the stretch, losing three of their final four games, had to be the wild card team on the road in LA against the Rams, and put together one of the more dreadful postseason performances we had seen in recent memory. And it's all kind of continued, Joe, in that downhill slide. Arizona at home over the course of the past two seasons, just 4-11 straight up, 5-10 against the spread. So not good numbers there, Joe. And there might be some talks about future changes that need to happen for the Cardinals franchise.
Yeah, we talked about Mike Leach, a former Texas Tech quarterback, Cliff Kingsbury. His offense is not the same. I mean, it's definitely not the same this year compared to at least the early part of last year with Kyler Murray, right? Now, part of that, I believe, is Kyler Murray not understanding the offense completely, not understanding his reads, progressions, and knowing where he wants to go with the football. That is obviously evident. He's not the same runner that he was over the past couple of seasons. And at the end of the day, this team doesn't have an offense or a defensive identity at all, right? I mean, the one thing you could say, at least, is that the offense, if the defense wouldn't carry them, would at least attempt to outscore opposing offenses, right? Well, that's not the case anymore. When you have Mac Jones putting up 27 and your offense could only put up 13, even though Colt McCoy, the backup, is in there, I mean, that's a terrible effort. I mean, they're predictable. They just don't go into ball games prepared. The game plan looks pedestrian. And at the end of the day, I think they need a change. Now, there is weapons there for this team to elevate and potentially at least challenge for an NFC West title with or without Kyler Murray at the helm. And yet they just can't put up points, and that falls on the head coach overall. And 4-9 is not going to get it done in any capacity. He should definitely be back in terms of the college game.
I think he's probably better. And again, that air raid system proliferated by Mike Leach and certainly had an impact on Cliff Kingsbury, who played for the Pirate, coached under the Pirate, and it could work well once again in the college football landscape. Some changes will need to be had there, Joe Lisi. That's what it seems like moving forward for Arizona. When we look at the other side, though, Joe, for the Patriots, as it stands right now, again, the caveat always goes, if the season were ending today, which it is not, but only a month left in the NFL regular season, the New England Patriots right now, Joe, hold on to the seventh and final AFC playoff spot at this moment, the third and final wild card spot in that hunt. And Joe, although their odds entering last night were plus 250, it would be a much shorter number when those odds come back up on the sports books for the playoff picture for New England. They still have some ground to make up. They take advantage right now. They move past the Chargers because of a better AFC conference record at the moment. But both the Chargers and the Patriots are 7-6, as are the New York Jets, Joe, a 7-6 football team as well. But the big thing here for New York, with New England back in the fray, the Patriots swept the season series against the Jets. They won 14 straight against New York. So that is a big benefit for New England at this time. Joe, it almost seems like right now, when you look at the AFC playoff picture, that the Cincinnati Bengals will certainly be in. They would be the top wild card team as things currently stand. They're battling it out with the Ravens for the divisional crown in the AFC North. So whoever ultimately does not win the division, Joe, most likely will be that top wild card team, but certainly in the wild card race. The other team right now, Miami, although the Dolphins have dropped two straight and are a 7.5-point underdog on the road on Saturday night in Western New York, where it is supposed to be cold in Buffalo, the Dolphins seem like a playoff team as well. They don't even have a price on the board right now to make the postseason. Joes, we're trying to figure out that third and final AFC wildcard team. The Patriots hold the spot right now, but LA had it at the conclusion of Sunday night, and the New York Jets still in the fray. Who do you think will be that final wildcard team in the AFC?
I hate to say that the group is terrible, I believe. They all have weaknesses. I want to say the L.A. Chargers, but I can't buy into Brandon Staley because every week is different. As good as they looked on Sunday night, this coming week they could probably have a dud, and all of a sudden it's the same old Chargers 500 football team fighting for their playoff lives, week number 18 of the regular season. So at the end of the day, I'll give it to Justin Herbert, but it's not by a long shot. I believe that New England, from a defensive perspective, holds that edge because of Belichick, but I have no confidence in the offensive staff of Matt Patricia and Joe Judge, like I told you the other day, and they're just completely one-dimensional. As the running game goes, so do the wins and losses. So from that aspect, I would give the edge to those playmakers in terms of LA, especially when I watched on Sunday night with a complete performance.
Yeah, and the odds would agree with you as it stands right now, Joe. Again, no updated price on the New England Patriots at this moment in terms of their playoff odds. That will probably come out sometime later this week. But as it currently stands, the odds back the Bolts. LA is a minus 170 favorite to the yes to make the postseason, as opposed to the Jets, who are plus 184. And again, entering Monday night, New England was plus 250. That number shorter after a big win, and currently occupying that seventh and final AFC playoff spot. But I still think, Joe, would be a plus money price, certainly not greater than minus 170 where the Chargers stand. New England right now, Joe, actually has the third toughest schedule remaining in the National Football League, because when you look at it, they play the Las Vegas Raiders this upcoming weekend. They're booked as a slight early look ahead underdog in that matchup in Las Vegas. I want to see the updated line here, because entering Monday Night Football, it was a 1.5-2 in favor of Las Vegas. It is now flipped. New England is the road favorite in Las Vegas against those Raiders. That game could have had much more meaning for both sides had the Raiders not blown a huge lead against LA on Thursday night. But that's their easiest game, Joe. Then they finish against Cincinnati in two divisional games against Miami and against the Buffalo Bills. A very difficult stretch for New England to end out the year. Well, you look at the Chargers, they have the second easiest schedule. They play the Titans this weekend, Joe, a 3-point favorite. And then they finish with the Broncos, the Rams, and the Colts in no particular order, but those are three remaining opponents. So from that perspective, Joe, not only the odds, but the remaining schedule backing up your case, the Chargers are probably the most likely team to occupy that third and final AFC wild card spot. We'll continue to look around the wild card picture, Joe, in both the AFC and the NFC, but a couple of those games that will have an impact this weekend, like we mentioned, Lisey, the Bolts and the Titans. Tennessee now has dropped three straight games, but this is about a harder game to handicap, Joe, as you'll find, because L.A. has been inconsistent. Tennessee is always a difficult team to handicap. They lost their first two. They won seven straight. Now they've dropped three in a row. So, Joe, how do you evaluate this game quickly here between L.A. and Tennessee?
More confidence in Derrick Henry and Vrabel and the defensive front of Tennessee than L.A. and Staley. That's it in a nutshell.
So you're taking the Titans as the dog?
Yep.
What that would do not only for the AFC South Division, but also the wild card race we were just breaking down. We'll continue to look at the playoff focus up next here on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're back on Football Full Circle, live right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Every game that we break down for the final month of this NFL regular season will have postseason implications, Joe, in some form or fashion. Maybe one team that's not involved in the playoff chase, but what does that do for motivational factors in our handicaps? A game we just touched on, a big one in Los Angeles on Sunday from a playoff perspective. Both teams in that playoff chase at the moment, the Chargers and the Titans. LA, a 3-point home favorite. Joe, right before we hit the break, you said you think Tennessee is the spot. This has a Derrick Henry game written all over it for the Titans to snap this 3-game losing skid. Joe, that would be huge for Tennessee in the AFC South. The Titans right now, a 7-5 football team. Excuse me, the Titans right now, a 7-6 football team, but still a 2-game lead currently in the AFC South division. That is big for Tennessee. Why? Because they are still a heavy favorite, of course, to win the division, even with a record that is just a game above 500. Minus 550 the price, Joe, but that price was minus 1,400 entering the weekend before Jacksonville went into Nashville and absolutely shellacked those Tennessee Titans 36-22. So how big of a game, Joe, when you add the playoff atmosphere to it for both the Chargers and the Titans, is L.A.?
Oh, it's going to be a huge, you know, playoff type of atmosphere. But I think this game really favors Tennessee's offensive line. I think if you watch that game Sunday night with the Dolphins did have success with Jeff Wilson running between the tackles along with Raheem Mostert in the second half of that ball game as well. They just couldn't convert. They were forced into predictable long third downs. I don't think that'll be the case with Derrick Henry. I told you in the break, this might be a 160, 170 yard performance by the big man, and don't count out 200. I think this is a game where he gets running downhill and it could be lights out. And you know, Justin Herbert never sees the football for more than a limited amount of possessions. I think that's the recipe for Tennessee to get back to basics, especially traveling on the road, right? And we knew last week that it was going to be basically at least, but a lot of people broke it down, a shootout between Tua and Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert proved he was the more complete quarterback in that matchup. And the secondary did a fantastic job in terms of blanketing Jalen Waddle for much of the game. They don't have that opportunity. This is going to be mano a mano. Tennessee's going to say, you know what? We're not going to make no bones about it. We're running the big man between the tackles 30, maybe 35 times in this ball game. See if you can stop us. And I don't think they can. So that's the recipe for me. I'm taking the points, running the football, and a defensive front travels well in road environments. And I think that's what Tennessee has in this ball game.
It's going to be that game, Joe, where we need to see it. Tennessee lost their first two games of the year, won seven of their next eight, the only loss. A cover as a 2-touchdown underdog on the road in KC with Malik Willis starting that football game. And again, now have dropped 3 games in a row. Joe, as we look at the AFC South and the NFC South, the two worst divisions in all of football, not a single team, Joe, out of the 8 teams in total from the two South divisions have a positive point differential. Everybody is negative except for the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are an even 0. They have allowed 294 points. They have scored 294 points so far this season. Joe, there is some hope potentially for the Jags to continue pushing pace here in the AFC South against those Tennessee Titans. But Jacksonville's at home this week, yet they're a 4.5-point underdog against the Dallas Cowboys. And Joe, frankly, Dallas is, you know, going to be most likely that top spot in the NFC wild card picture. They're two games behind Philly, but they have a huge matchup against the Birds on Christmas Eve in a huge game at Big D there at the Star in Dallas. I think the Cowboys, Joe, want to make that as enticing as possible, trying to cut in to the Birds' lead. Although Dallas, of course, survived against the Texans this past weekend, I think this game on Sunday in Duval County, Joe, the Cowboys almost maybe treating it as a bounce-back opportunity.
Yeah, you would think, right? I mean, that performance, and I don't look at the Dallas Cowboys in that matchup really, you know, struggling. I thought they would struggle. It's an interstate rivalry. Houston at 1-10, you get Big D coming in. You're going to get their best effort, but at the end of the day, they still lost. It's almost like, you know, we talk about college football. You have the number one team in the country coming off an emotional run, and all of a sudden they're playing Mercer. They're not going to cover more times than not the 66-point spread, but they get the W. Same thing with Dallas last week. But in this matchup, it's going to come down to, can Trevor Lawrence challenge the secondary with Trayvon Diggs? Can they contain Micah Parsons in the front seven to protect Trevor Lawrence enough? I don't know if they could do it. I think this is a bad matchup for me, for Jacksonville's offensive line going up against Dallas's defensive front. Laying the 4.5, I think is light. I think this is a double-digit win by the Cowboys on the road here.
I agree, Joe. And when you look at what Dallas had done, they had won 5 of their previous 6 games entering Sunday. Again, they've won 6 of their last 7, so they're still winning football games. But in those 5 previous wins, Joe, they had an average margin of victory of nearly 24 points per game. So that blowout idea is certainly still at stake. Joe, as we look at a Saturday slate of NFL football, a triple header on Saturday. In fact, the nightcap is going to be a sensational game in Western New York between the Buffalo Bills and the Miami Dolphins. The Bills already, Joe, north of a touchdown favorite, laying 7.5. A nor'easter, that means a ton of snow and cold weather, is expected for the Eastern Coast this upcoming weekend. And Joe, for the Dolphins from South Beach, that makes what they have to do on the road against the Bills all that much more difficult. Do you expect a game, though, Joe, between two teams that are very good this year? The Dolphins have dropped 2 straight, sure, but they're still 8-5. Buffalo is 10-3. Do you expect this game to be more competitive, Joe, than that 7.5-point spread indicates?
Well, I need the weather report, Ben. I mean, you're just talking nor'easter. I go back, and here we go. We're going to go retro. 1993, Brian Cox in Miami. I have to go back. I'm a Dolphin fan since 1977 or 78. I mean, Tommy Vigorito, Don Strzok, you weren't even born then. But I mean, that day, and with Jim Kelly and Andre Reed, I mean, I just go back to that. I mean, if you're talking about a bad matchup for Miami, Tyreek Hill, Jalen, how are they going to stand on a snow-covered turf? They're going to have to run the football, and that's still the Achilles heel of Miami, no matter what year you take it. I don't care about Jeff Wilson or Raheem Mostert, and he's got sprinter speed from West Lafayette and Purdue. That has always been the Achilles heel of the Miami Dolphins for the days of the late 70s straight through. The only dominant running back we had was Ricky Williams in his second stint when he got there with Dave Wannstedt. Outside of that, we've had Bernie Parmalee and a lack of dynamic running backs that can pound the rock between the tackles, especially in a playoff environment. And this is what it is. The AFC East title is on the line. Even though Buffalo holds a 2-game advantage, they lost to Miami and the New York Jets. They got one victory last week. I think they get it today, this weekend. Here's the thing. If it's a dry track, I'd be inclined to take the Dolphins with the 7.5. The Bills still win a close game. But with this weather, there's no way I could back two in that environment.
Yeah, it's going to be a very different environment. We saw those wintry conditions in Western New York, Joe, this past Sunday in an ugly, sloppy game against the New York Jets. The Bills did not cover as a double-digit 10-point favorite, but they did win that football game. Buffalo just 1-3 against the spread within the AFC East this year. Of course, their first two games, they lost outright as a favorite. Week number two against the Dolphins in South Beach, and then against the New York Jets on the road as well. Earlier this season. Right now, Joe, the Bills a minus 1,100 favorite to win the AFC East division. They would take, with a victory, even if they don't cover that 7.5-point spread, they would take a three-game lead in the division with 3 weeks remaining, virtually going dormy, and the tiebreaker advantage that the Dolphins and the Jets both had would come to a close if that is going to be where things stand at this moment. Joe, we're talking all around the AFC at the moment. Two wild card contenders in both of the conferences face off against one another on Sunday afternoon at MetLife. Speaking of weather, that could be a huge portion of this handicap. The New York Jets, Joe, hosting the Detroit Lions. It opened with the New York Jets as the favorite, laying about 1.5. Now it is the Lions, Joe, a slight 1-point favorite on the road, but the Jets are minus 110 on the money line. Detroit is only minus 106, so virtually a pick'em football game. Joe Lisi, both teams need this win. Who do you think gets it?
This one's tough, Ben, because I could see it going either way. My heart's telling me Detroit, but something doesn't seem right. The fact that the Jets are at home, I could see them stepping up. From a betting perspective, I would go with the New York Jets. I think their defense is a little more complete. I like Sauce Gardner in terms of the back end. I don't know if Detroit and Jared Goff are going to be able to challenge them over the top, and I think that'll lead to the front seven getting some pressure on Jared Goff. And Mike White, you want to talk about battle-tested, baby. Look like, a gunslinger. Jim McMahon back in the day. Come on. Kids battle-tested. They love him from Western Kentucky. I think the Jets win this game. I'm not going to bet this game because, again, it is a coin flip. But, again, from this breakdown, I go with the better, more complete defense. And I think that's Robert Saleh and the New York Jets.
It's going to be such a fascinating game, Joe, because of the weather component as well. That nor'easter, not just for Western New York, but also just the greater New York City, New Jersey area around the tri-state. Jared Goff has documented struggles outside in cold weather. He has played his football in L.A. and in Detroit, of course, a cold city in the Motor City, but those games are within the dome, or at least a covered stadium at Ford Field. More on that up in just a few minutes on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back on FFC. So like I was saying, Joe Lisi, as we break down a little bit of the early Week 15 slate, because there's never a better time than a Tuesday to look forward at the NFL lines and try to get those early edges, especially with only a final month remaining in this NFL regular season. Jared Goff, the quarterback for the Detroit Lions, of course, who has been sensational each of these past 2 weeks, throwing for well over 300 yards in both of the wins for Detroit and 3 touchdowns this past week for Detroit, hammering the Vikings at home. Joe, he's played his football in mostly contained environments. Of course, starting his career in Los Angeles, the former number one overall pick, now playing in Detroit. And although, obviously, Detroit is a cold city during the winter months, they play in Ford Field. It's a covered football stadium. He has made 6 starts, Joe, in weather that has dipped between 20 and 40 degrees Fahrenheit. And in those games, his completion percentage drops to just 50%. Now, the Lions are a slight 1-point favorite, like we mentioned, on the road in New York, Joe. But weather is going to be a conversation this weekend for the games played on the East Coast. As you heard maybe during the Sports Grid news update there, there is a ton of winter weather currently rolling over from the Sierra Nevada area into the plains and making its way out east by the time we get to this weekend, Joe. So that's another wrinkle for your handicaps here in the final month of this regular season.
Yeah, it is, and great point in regards to that. I think you look at this game two ways, right? Obviously, it's a dome team traveling out to the East Coast, so that's always an issue. And do you believe that Detroit's running game could travel well? And as good as Jamal Williams is and they have Swift, are they a dominant running attack? Like, do they scare you the way Derrick Henry scares you, where if they don't have success early, do they still stick with the run or do they deviate from that game plan? Because in order to win on the road in playoff environments, we talk about how important the running game is to the key of success, right? So when I look at this game, I say, okay, we know about the success of golf, but am I scared by Jamal Williams and that offensive line of Detroit going up against the New York Jets in this ballgame, or could the Jets cut it out? I was very impressed with that defensive effort against Josh Allen last week. That was one of the best teams in all of football, offense and defensive line play, and they went toe-to-toe with them. I know Detroit is trending right now, but it's basically, it's a pick, and they're getting 1 point. So for me, if I'm betting this game, you know, I might talk myself into it. The New York Jets might be a best bet this week.
Uh-oh. A best bet this week, he says. He's starting to talk himself into the line. That's why we have these conversations early on in the week, to tell you where that money might need to be best and where you can look for those advantages. Joe, when you look at Jared Goff, he has thrown for multiple touchdown passes now in three straight games dating back to Turkey Day against the Buffalo Bills. It was 23 of 37 that game for 240 and two scores. 31 of 41 2 weeks ago against the Jags when they put up 40 points, and he threw two touchdowns as well, and then he was 27 of 39 for 330 and three TDs against Minnesota this past weekend. Joe, Detroit has been scoring a ton in the last five games. Their low was 25 against Buffalo every other game, and they've won five of their last six and four of their last five, and they've scored 31 or more in four of those five games as well. So although the Jets have a very good defense and the weather not supposed to be great, a total of 44.5, if this game was played in good weather conditions, would probably be way too low for where Detroit is right now. So both of those teams, Joe, factoring in to the playoff races in either of the two conferences. Detroit right now on the outside looking in, a plus 270 number. But when you look at remaining schedule, Joe, this is Detroit's hardest game left, and they are a slight favorite now. The fourth easiest schedule left in the NFL. They finish with the Bears, the Panthers, and the Packers following this game, Joe, in New York, New Jersey, against the New York Jets. They're battling it out for probably that final wild card spot in the NFC, Joe. But if the season were to end today, all four teams in the NFC East would be in the postseason. The Eagles, the divisional champs, the Cowboys are going to run away with the top spot in the NFC wild card race. And then two teams right now, Joe, with the same exact record, 7-5-1 for each of them, the Washington Commanders and the New York Giants. Joe, a big game coming up Sunday Night Football in Washington between the Commanders and the Giants. They tied 2 weeks ago, if you remember, 20-all at MetLife in the New York, New Jersey area. Then the Commanders, Joe, had a bye week. The Giants got blown out, of course, by the Eagles. It's the second straight game for Washington, Joe, against their divisional foe in New York. They were a slight road favorite in MetLife. Now they're a 4.5-point favorite at home against the Giants. How do you break down this matchup, Joe?
Well, I just go down to, I believe Washington is the more complete team, and I've been saying it from the get-go. I thought the Giants would give a better effort against Philadelphia, but they got absolutely punched in the mouth in terms of run support. They allowed well over 200 yards right in that ballgame with Jalen Hurts and Miles Sanders yet again. I mean, unbelievable performance in the second half. I just have no confidence in the offense with Brian Daboll. Again, it's not a knock on the New York Giants. I just think they overexceeded expectations too early, right? Nobody expected them to be 7-2. They were supposed to be a 7-win football team. They just got those 7 wins in the first half of the season. That was their preseason win total, 7, 7.5, and we're starting to see the regression. I just think Taylor Heineke's it. He has the it factor. They're still fighting for their playoff lives. What are they, 7-5-1 overall heading into this matchup? They went toe-to-toe with the Giants coming out of a bye week. They should be rested, playing at home. I think they dominate this ballgame. And when I mean dominate, I think they win it anywhere from 10 to 13 points. A late touchdown gives them a double-digit home win.
Yeah, and it's going to be, Joe, a game to look at here, certainly from that perspective. When you think about the fact the Commanders now two straight against the Giants, some of that smoke and mirrors that was surrounding New York and Brian Daboll early on this year seemed to be just that, where things stand for New York. And by the way, the Commanders as a favorite this year, 4-2 against the spread. They did not cover, of course, in that tie game against New York just a few weekends ago. The Giants covering as a 2-point home underdog, but they have been very good as a favorite throughout this NFL season. And they are expected to get back the talented edge rusher Chase Young, the 2020 NFL defensive rookie of the year. That game, Joe, will be huge. Right now, Washington -188 to make the postseason. New York +110. Again, the Giants, as we shared, +270. And then a big game, Joe, to start off week 15 in the Pacific Northwest between Seattle and San Francisco. We'll preview Thursday Night Football over the course of the next few days, Joe. But when you look at this game, the Seahawks, a 3.5-point home underdog in front of the 12s, taking on the Niners on Thursday night, Joe, knowing it's going to be a playoff atmosphere and the magnitude of this football game, what's the approach?
I like Seattle, and I like Seattle a lot. I'm starting to like a lot of games early on. I don't know if we'll get into the other one, but I like Seattle. I think this is a game, even though they didn't play well against Carolina, I think Seattle playing at home, it's a road environment, playoffs on the line, I think they step up. And even though San Francisco dominated Tampa Bay, no Deebo Samuel, and the fact that it's Brock Purdy in a true road environment, I think he struggles. I think they win this ball game outright, +154 on the money line, +3.5. I think DK, Tyler Lockett go over their total, and old man Geno steps up and outduels the kid from Iowa State in Ames.
Wow, starting to talk himself into some underdogs he likes this weekend. Joe, San Francisco has now won 6 straight games. A fascinating matchup, not just because of the quarterback comparison you made between the veteran in Geno Smith and the rookie in Brock Purdy, about to make his first road start in one of the more chaotic atmospheres with the 12s roaring there at Lumen Field, but also because of the defensive matchup here. Now, Seattle is a really good scoring team, as we have seen, the 5th best scoring offense in the National Football League, but they are the 3rd worst scoring defense, allowing, Joe, on average, north of 25 points per game, closer to 31 points per game over their last 3 ball games. Not great for a Seattle team against the Niners offense that, with Brock Purdy, has scored 33 points and 35 points in its 2 games. He looks very comfortable in the Kyle Shanahan system. But defensively for San Francisco is where they still bring home the bacon, Joe. The best scoring defense in the league, allowing just a tick over 15 points per game. And if Kenneth Walker III is not available, I think it takes away that dynamic nature of the Seattle offense, Joe. And I think San Francisco would be the right side. It is fascinating to see what the market is telling you about the 49ers as well, Lisi, when you have Brock Purdy now a 3.5-point favorite in each of his 2 starts. Last week at home against the Bucs, I think that says even more about where Tampa Bay is right now. And then this week on the road in Seattle, laying 3.5 points, knowing the Seahawks are a 7-6 football team. There's a 2-game gap now in the NFC West, but the Seahawks still very much in that postseason conversation. Joe, what do you think of what the odds are saying about San Francisco? Now, you think Geno Smith outduels Brock Purdy, but do you expect there to be a big drop-off for Purdy in his first career road start?
There might be. And I think that, you know, here's the thing. You got to shut down Christian McCaffrey, right? I think Seattle's good enough and coached well enough to at least take that away Thursday night. So then you go secondary. Okay, no Deebo. That means it's Kittle and Ayuk on the outside. Can you bring pressure and can you force Purdy into mistakes? I think they can. Pete Carroll is too good of a coach to allow a rookie to just abuse them. And that's not to take away from what he did against Tom Brady. But I think there were too many circumstances circumstances why they had success last week. Tampa Bay's defense was not good at all. They did not look like they were involved in that matchup. The offense came out flat and just sort of played right into San Francisco. And obviously, Debo had a part of that with scoring the early touchdown. You take away that motion sweep from San Francisco. Offensive attack, the way Debo runs it, right? All of a sudden now, you limit about a third of what they could do from a scheme perspective, shorten the field, and now you put them into long third downs. That can maybe dial up some turnover opportunities. I'm going off that breakdown. The fact that Debo is not there, I think will handcuff them, and I think that puts pressure on Brock Purdy. So from that perspective, I'm back in Seattle in this ballgame.
It's a good point, Joe. We'll see the offensive ramifications for a San Francisco team that, again, as a team, as a unit, continues to trend in a very positive direction. They have won six straight games, but with every victory comes some bit of bad news. As they've won six straight, it's the longest active winning streak in the National Football League at this moment. But 2 weeks ago, of course, they lost Jimmy G for what we expect to be the remainder of this season. And last weekend, losing Debo Samuel. It's said to be an MCL and ankle sprain, Joe, but I doubt he plays in this football game or anytime soon. A very scary sight on Sunday in Santa Clara that led to Debo being carted off the field and with his head in his hands, visibly shaken up by the scene, and rightfully so. So we'll see what that means for San Francisco as they look to extend their win streak to 7. Seattle looks to close the gap in the division and strengthen their resume for an NFC playoff spot as well. Joe, I mentioned it, 6 straight wins for San Francisco. The second longest streak right now, the Cincinnati Bengals, they have won 5 straight games. They host the Tampa, or they actually visit the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday afternoon. An intriguing spread there, Joe, as we finish out the show on the other side of the break. I'd love to get your thoughts on the Bengals and the Bucs up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Intriguing line in my estimation. In Tampa Bay on Sunday afternoon, the Buccaneers need to keep winning, Joe, just to keep pace atop the NFC South. Only a 1-game lead over Carolina and Atlanta. Somebody's got to win the division, Joe, and the Bucs are still a -320 favorite to get it done, but they're an underdog this week at home, getting 3.5 points from the Cincinnati Bengals, a road favorite, and they have won 5 straight games, covering in 10 of their last 11. Joe, I could make the argument here, although it's a must-win for the Buccaneers, the spread should be more in favor of Cincinnati. I think the books are still giving too much credit to the idea of Tom Brady as opposed to the actual performances we are seeing out of this Buccaneers offense here as of late. What do you think, Joe?
Well, I can't go against my guy. You know, here's the thing. He is a quiet killer. He's a quiet assassin. And he won't think twice about taking out the GOAT or the old man if it means another step to potentially a Super Bowl appearance. A 9-4 overall, hitting stride, one of the best teams in the NFL. He's doing it without his major weapons, right? T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, it doesn't matter. He's got Jamar Chase, Joe Mixon is back. I mean, come on. Joe Burrow is the most consistent quarterback in this matchup right now. How could you go against him? We have no idea what to expect from old man Tom Brady. A couple of interceptions last week. He looked like a deer in the headlights. I hate to say it, but maybe, just maybe, Father Time is catching up to Tommy.
I mean, it looks like he's not happy to be out there at 45 years old. I don't know who would be happy to be playing football at the NFL level, but it's an interesting time, Joe. By the way, Carolina slightly favored by 2.5 points now against Pittsburgh at home. With a win and a Bucs loss, the Panthers would be in a tie for first atop the NFC South. That does it for us today on Football Full Circle. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. Thanks for tuning in to Sports Grid Radio. The Money Line is up next.